today will be Exodus chapter 28. There are several interesting addendums to chapter 39 I'll try to mention along the way. But today I want you to key in on this statement at the end of verse 3, where I've selected my title today from, where we see here in verse 3, "You shall speak to all the skillful, whom I have filled with a spirit of skill, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him for my priesthood." Now, friends, we need to stop and we need to think about this for a moment. How many true gods are there? There is one true God. I saw it. Thank you. There's one true God. And all the other gods are God wannabes. All right? You might remember in one of the recent superhero movies where a god wannabe was flying around on his divine scooter, and he had this super wand. And then all of a sudden, Incredible Hulk breaks in, and he takes him, he grabs him by the legs, and he bangs him around a little bit, and he says, "Puny God." Friends, I want you to think about god wannabes. They're puny, they're pathetic, they're boring. But the God that we worship is the Creator God who made the heavens. And this God wants you to know that He has spoken, and that He, in fact, has set people apart to this office of high priest. And one of the ways that you're going to know Him is because of what He wears. Today we turn from the furniture of the tabernacle. We've been there for weeks now. And now we're turning to the garments of the tabernacle. In verse 4 of chapter 28, we see the specific things that are being referenced today. And I'm not going to go through all these, but I want you to see that this is another way of structuring this passage. We see here a breastpiece, an ephod, a robe, a coat, a turban, a sash. And these then are all called, in verse 4, holy garments for Aaron your brother. We need to see that that these garments now become an integral part of the office of Aaron the high priest. Today I want you to see, he's called Aaron. He's also called later in this chapter Aaron the priest, who has engravings upon his uniform. Today, my burden, friends, is that you would see that integral to these priestly garments are three places where things are written. And I want you to think about what God is telling us in writing these three things upon Aaron, the high priest. The Aaronic priesthood was a core element of the Mosaic administration of the covenant of grace. Today we have a greater high priest whose identity and mission is foreshadowed in the clothing of Aaron, the first high priest. So, again, trying to set this up today. First, we see this gloriously bedecked high priest in the old covenant. Then we learn that the Aaronic priesthood comes to an end, and you should know that one of the judgments of God upon Israel was that in 70 AD, when the temple was destroyed, all of the known direct descendants of Aaron were also killed. This was a judgment of the Roman army that we do not want to see this priesthood come to be again. So we're going to kill all of the descendants of Aaron. And thus today, you might meet someone. There was somebody who ran for office here in Shawnee County named Mr. Cohen. The word Cohen means priest. But there's no way that Mr. Cohen can draw a direct line of lineage as required by the Aaronic priesthood in order to demonstrate that he is a lineal descendant. And so I want to remind us today that as glorious as this Old Testament high priesthood is, it gives way to Jesus, the high priest of the new covenant. And we want to see today the shadows of Jesus in the priesthood of Aaron. So we want to look at this today under 4 points. The first is very simply that you must know your priest. You must know your priest. The people of Israel needed to know their priest, and one of the ways that they recognized him was by the holy garments that Aaron wore. Notice in verse 2, it speaks to what these garments looked like. They were holy garments for Aaron, the brother of Moses, for glory and beauty. He's the priest of the one true God. This is not some ancient Near Eastern tribe that's inventing a religion. This is the revealed religion of the creator of the heavens and the earth. We ought to look and listen and understand that he would be represented by priests in this world. We need to see that particular garments are to set apart the high priest. That no matter where he would go, that he would look a certain way and that people would recognize him. In verse 4 and 5, we see the specifics of what was to be made for Aaron in this regard. We see here that Aaron is of the tribe of Levi. Moses also was. But now Moses, who has played a unique role, is now setting Aaron apart to a perpetual institution. The generation after generation, the direct lineal sons of Aaron, one of them would be chosen as the high priest. Deuteronomy 33:10 says, "The sons of Levi observed your word and kept my covenant. They shall teach Jacob your rules and Israel your law. They shall put incense before you and whole burnt offerings on your altar." So as we look at this old covenant Aaronic priesthood, we see that there are particular people who are set apart into this particular office to oversee all of this exotic temple or tabernacle that we've been considering in recent weeks. But friends, you don't need to know so much about this priest. And here's the reason. Because you need to know your priest. And your priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Hebrews 6, "We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." So Jesus is not an Aaronic priest. Jesus is a Melchizedekian priest. You want to impress your friends, say, "Yes, I worship Jesus, the Melchizedekian priest." And watch their eyes cross. But what does it mean? We don't have time to go into Melchizedek today, but if you want to read about this, read Hebrews 7 through 10, and you'll get lots of information about how it is that Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Friends, know your priest. Know what he does for you. Know of his love for you. It says in the book of Hebrews, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way like us, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How is it that you come boldly? Well, you come through Jesus, because he is the mediator between God and man. You must know your priest. Secondly, you are remembered by your priest. And here now we want to look briefly at a few of these pieces of clothing that God has commissioned to be made. In verses 6 through 14, we see the ephod that's made here. And lots of pieces of this, but I really want to focus down in verse 11 upon the two stones. You are to engrave two stones. Apparently these were to go kind of as amulets, if you will, on the shoulders of the high priest. And it says in verse 10, six of the names of Israel on one stone and six of the names on the other in order of their birth. And then down in verse 12, you shall set the two stones on the shoulder pieces of the ephod as, and an interesting phrase, stones of remembrance for the sons of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders for remembrance. Every time that that priest put on his royal priestly garb, he was reminded of the specific tribes of the nation of Israel. Friends, he was wearing the names of the elect on himself. Do you see this? What a glorious thing that it is that even though they were saved through their affiliation with the nation of Israel and faith in Israel's God in the Old Covenant, we today come on the basis of individual faith in Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ also has the names of his people written upon him. What a beautiful thing. We see this in John 17. It says, yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Here we see Jesus again as the go-between, and he has in mind those particular people that God has given him through his public ministry. He prays later in John 17 for those who will believe through the word of those that you gave to me. Do you see how from generation to generation God's kingdom will expand as people both teach their own children and also bear witness in the world, that the world might know, that the world might know? Oh, friends, what a beautiful, beautiful reminder we have of Jesus' intercession in these two amulets on the high priest's robe. This brings us to the third point this morning. Beginning in verse 15, we see that you are loved by your priest. Not only are you remembered as a matter of memory, but then now look at what we have here. It says in verse 15, you shall make a breastpiece of judgment in skilled work. Look down at verse 21. It says that on this breastpiece, and again, I've seen pictures of this. You might be able to see it in your bulletin there, but a square piece, it's specified to be square, has 12 precious stones in it, probably hung by some kind of a sling around the neck that attaches to his clothing. And look at what it says here in verse 21. There shall be 12 stones with their names according to the names of the sons of Israel. They shall be like signets, each engraved with its name. And then look down at verse 29. We see why this placement in particular. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel in the breastpiece of judgment on his heart when he goes into the holy place, to bring them to regular remembrance before the Lord. So not only does your high priest remember you, but your high priest loves you. You are loved by your high priest. What a beautiful thing it is, friends, to consider. We've pondered all the different pieces of this tabernacle. There was one place where we have seen to up to today where there was any reference to particular tribes. Do you remember where it was? Well, inside, on the right-hand side, as you were coming in to the holy place, was the table of showbread. Anybody remember how many loaves or how many cakes there were on the table of showbread? Well, there were 12 in two piles of six. All right? And here we now see this same thing. First, in the ephod, we have six tribes written on one shoulder. We have six tribes written on the other shoulder. But now they're brought together and they're laid upon the heart of the high priest. He is able to sympathize. He is able to love God's people because they are on his heart. And again, you see this same phrase used here in verse 29, to bring them to regular. Some people would say that this Hebrew word is better translated continual, to continual remembrance before the Lord. So we have this ephod, we have this breastpiece, and now finally, fourthly today, we want to see the engraving here. You are saved by your priest. Look over at verse 36. This to me is the most glorious engraving of all. There's the engraving on the shoulders. There's the engraving on the ephod. And now we see another engraving on the forehead of the high priest. You shall make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it like the engraving of a signet, holy to the Lord. And you shall fasten it on the turban by a cord of blue. It shall be on the front of the turban. It shall be on Aaron's forehead. Now notice the connection here. And Aaron shall bear any guilt from the holy things, that's the furniture of the tabernacle, that the people of Israel consecrate as their holy gifts. It shall regularly or continually be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. So now here in one golden plate on the head of the high priest, it says, holy to the Lord. God is saying everything that might possibly be there in the rest of the tabernacle that isn't quite right or that would somehow be guilty, all that is put upon the priest. The priest now becomes the living picture, the living expression of everything happening in the tabernacle. And thus, all of the tabernacle is holy. And thus, all of the gifts and the offerings of the tabernacle are holy. And thus, the relationship between God and his people is restored when the tabernacle is used according to God's command. Do you see how this works? That because Aaron is there and because he has holy one to the Lord, therefore, the whole tabernacle is good to go. And by the way, if the priest is wicked, what will happen to the tabernacle rituals? They will degenerate. If the priest is careless, what will happen? Well, then bad things will start to be done in the tabernacle in the name of the Holy One of Israel. There's now this relationship between the architecture and the person, between the building and the representative of God in the high priest. So we see here in verses 36 and following, we see, and really back to verse 31, we see the robe that he's wearing, we see the turban on his head, and in particular, we see this plate engraved with the words, holy to the Lord. What I want you to see is that there was a sense in which the people of Israel were saved by the mediation of the Old Testament priest. Now, he didn't shed his blood for them. He didn't, you know, he wasn't perfect. But there's a sense in which everything in the tabernacle was good to go because there was this ceremonial statement on the high priest's forehead, holy to the Lord. He's not holy. That's what's so wild about this. He is set apart, but he's not perfect. But there is going to be, friends, the Holy One of Israel. In fact, there is in Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem. One of the things they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the Holy One of Israel. And they're not talking about Aaron or Aaron's sons. They're talking about Jesus, the spotless Lamb, who now will bear the guilt of all of his people throughout all of time. Oh, friends, you are truly saved by your high priest. So we see these three engravings here, and I'd just like to conclude by reminding you that there is writing. There is writing in the tabernacle. First of all, there are two tablets that have writing on them in that Ark of the Covenant, in the inner sanctum of the tabernacle. But now we see that there is writing, three different kinds of writing upon Aaron's garments. And that in putting on those garments, it's as though he's putting on the people of God. And now he's going to represent those people of God as he goes in and as he offers sacrifices on the bronze altar. And as he offers prayers at the altar of incense in the holy place. And then as he goes in once a year to the Holy of Holies. And remember, now Aaron must shed blood on his own account because now he is bearing the guilt of God's people. He is a substitute, at least in a ceremonial way. And the blood of bulls and goats must be shed for Aaron the high priest, because he is just a shadow of the one who is to come. But friends, Jesus has come. The Aaronic priesthood has ended. The Holy One of Israel has ascended not into a temple made with hands, but into heaven itself. He is our forerunner. He has gone before us through death and resurrection. And he has now been glorified and is seated in splendor at the right hand of the Father. Friends, see your high priest. Know him. Know that he remembers you. Know that he loves you. Know that he came to this world in order to save you. Let us pray. O Lord our God, how we thank you for being this kind of high priest. Lord, thank you that we have a high priest who cares for us. Thank you that Jesus had us on his mind on the night of his betrayal. O Christ, thank you that you have taught us so much about the world that's to come through your own life. And thank you that you have gone into heaven itself as a priest, ever living to make intercession for your people. Lord, there are many who struggle with fear and confusion, who have laid hold of and believed lies that are irrational about the afterlife. But thank you, Lord, that in the person of Christ, we have an explication of the throne room of God and of one who has us written upon himself, even as he represents us to the Father, and is able to whisper in the ear of his Father, Lord, remember him. Lord, remember her. They're going through a hard time right now. Send your angels to comfort this one. Remember the grief of that one. And oh Father, because of your love for your Son, you also love each and every one of us who are united to Christ by faith. Oh Lord, we pray that you would help us to see the beauty and the glory of the priesthood of the old covenant. And Lord, to be reminded that that's but a shadow. That's but a sketch of what came in Christ. Thank you that there is one mediator between God and man, even the man Christ Jesus. Thank you, O Christ, that you are our shepherd, that you are our teacher, that you are our intercessor, that you are our priest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.